Thank you, Russ.
Well, good morning. And yes, we are kind of a strange crew. To answer the question, what's with the headset? Since you brought it up. When we had the old sound system, we had difficulties with me getting feedback whenever I would start wandering around and I'd get in front of a speaker with that one there. So I don't have that trouble when I, sometimes every once in a while, not too often, but every once in a while I get going down into the rest of the sanctuary, not get off the stage here and get down there. So I don't have to worry about that. And then when I put my head down, sometimes with the lapel mic, I'd be really loud. But then I'd lift my head up, and then you couldn't hear me, and Mike was trying to go up and down like this with the soundbar. It's just easier when the microphone is always the same distance from my face. Makes Mike's life simpler. So that's why we've tried this, though. Now with the new sound system, we might go back and retry the lapel mic and see if we have any issues, but habit. Okay. Just want to touch again on a reminder that 6:30 tonight, our normal prayer time, Carolyn Dean will be giving a presentation of her ministry in Laos. We will also be having prayer for her ministry when she returns and for those who are there fulfilling that ministry while she's gone, because things just don't stop just because she left. There are things, so much going on there. So we'll have prayer for that and also prayer for the ministries here. So we'll have a time of prayer as part of that. But I would encourage you to come and to see what the Lord has been doing with and through Carolyn, and just to be encouraged, and then to pray. Also, this morning I want to remind everybody that these flyers that we've given out, the pink sheet, I can get it unstuck, about the CCN broadcast, that the ones that are on the 29th of January and the 21st of February, these two broadcasts are ones that I would really encourage you to invite friends and neighbors, co-workers, relatives to. These are, I think, workshops that people will benefit by, and we will just want to be offer these workshops as a blessing to people. They're not going to be asked to join the church or anything weird's going to happen. But what they will find is they'll receive some resources that will help them with their lives. Now, the fact that God is the source of all good resources will indeed be revealed, but it's not going to be done in such a way that somebody who is kind of, if you have somebody who is just a tad leery of church, don't worry about it. They'll be okay to come to this. We don't want to be scaring anybody or do a bait and switch, and that's not going to happen on these. Okay. The first one on the 29th is 10 Essentials of Highly Healthy Children. Please, if you know anybody who's got kids of any age, most parents are looking for help. Now I don't have to look for help. I figure if Chris and Ryan and Jason aren't okay now, then I'm in trouble. It's too late. But they turned out okay, so I'm not going to worry about it. Okay. And the 21st is our Good Sense Budgeting course. Please let me know what you can about that. We need to order our workbooks, and we need to make sure we have the right number. We don't want to run short when people show up for this conference. There is some pre-work to be done, and I'll give that out to people ahead of time when they pre-register. There's some worksheets that they do before they come so that you've got information when you come to the workshop. Okay, that's enough commercials. Let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord's blessing and move into His Word. Father God, we just thank You this day that You have provided for us in so many ways. Lord, we ask that You would help us to be good stewards of that which You've given to us. Lord, You have placed these things into our hands and told them to use them, to master them. But Lord, You've also told us to do that for Your glory. So Lord, might we not abuse them, but use them according to Your will and Your purposes. And might we use the resources and authority which You've given us in such a manner that Your purposes will be achieved and that Your name will be lifted up. Father, we ask now that You'd send Your Holy Spirit to minister to us here, to guide us as we look this week at the aspect of stewardship and how it relates to the community around us. Open our eyes that we might live out Your truth in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, when you think of stewardship, how many of you really think of how it would relate to the community around? Normally what you think of is somebody saying we need to raise more money for the church. We start talking about us. It becomes very inward focused. The primary object of the church, the reason why the church is put together, was to take the greatest resource that God put in our hands and disseminate it. It's the gospel. There is no greater resource that we have at our disposal than the gospel message. And it is indeed a resource. And as stewards, how we and what we do with that resource is important. Because if we neglect the greatest resource under our care, we are indeed poor stewards. Now, I want to take a quick look at a passage of Scripture. Now, before I do, I want to give a little introduction to say that the point that I want to make when we look at this piece of Scripture is not that it's okay for us to try to cheat, but that indeed God has given us authority and that He will stand behind that authority. Okay? So with that, let me look at the parable of the shrewd manager. This is in Luke chapter 16, starting with the first verse. Jesus told His disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So He called him and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their homes.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "And how much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either will he hate the one and love the other, or will he be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Okay. Let's go back to the first part of this. There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. We don't want to be wasting God's possessions. When we don't do our primary purpose, which is taking the gospel to the world, that's why it's referred to as the Great Commission, not as the Secondary Commission, but the Tertiary Commission. It's not second or third, but it's the first things. So it's the Great Commission. We're told, go and do this. Take the gospel to all the world. So we're not to waste that resource. Now another point, quickly, before I'm going somewhere, so I'm touching real brief. I apologize for that. This manager, when he's informed that he was going to be losing his job and he was going to have to bring in his books and show, okay, what happened? Where'd it go? He called in and made some deals with the creditors. Got them to pay their bill, but he did so by giving them a deal. You know what? You owe 800 gallons of oil, olive oil. Let's just, you pay it right now, it's 400. You owe 1,000 bushels of wheat, you pay it right now, it's 800. Now he does two things. One, he settles up his master's accounts and has done what he should have done earlier. But two, he's made a favorable impression upon the creditors, the debtors. On these debtors, these people who owed, because he blessed them so that they would be favorably dispossessed towards him. So when he showed up, it's, hey, how you doing? They wouldn't say, I know you. You charged me. You wanted to get me a full interest and penalties. You wouldn't give me a break. Now, what I want to peek at real quickly here, what was the master's response to these actions? What was it? Did he repudiate the decisions of his steward? No. You see, you can't. It's binding agreement. When the steward does something on behalf of the master, when he has been given authority to do that, once it's done, it's done. The master can't take back that authority. So when God gives us authority to go and do something, then we go and do it, it's done. Now, he has given us the authority to take the gospel into all the world. And when we take the gospel there, it's done. But when we do a poor job of it, or when we don't do it, well, that's done too. But we as the stewards have been given the authority. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, Paul refers to us as being the ambassadors of Christ. We're ambassadors. That's just a fancy word for a steward that goes out to another country on behalf of the government to negotiate and to seek goodwill and to represent the masters back home. They have authority. Now, they can only act within their level of authority. Okay, where am I going with all this? We've been given a responsibility to take the gospel message outside these four walls. We've been told that we're to be salt and light. Salt, in order to purify and cleanse, needs to be brought into close contact. Light, when it comes in someplace, fills the entirety of the darkness. We're supposed to go and take the gospel message out there. How do we as a church in good stewardship do that? Because we can't just take all the money that comes in and just say, okay, we've got to send it to the mission field, because we do have to take care of business here. Otherwise, the money will come in once and then it won't ever come in again. Okay, we need to make sure that we set up a good flow, good business practice, good planning, just good stewardship. Plus, we need to take care of all the people that are here so that they can continue to take the gospel outside. So we have all those responsibilities, yes. And I'm actually going to talk about what our stewardship responsibilities are to the body next week. But this week, what are our stewardship responsibilities to the world? We need to remember that as the stewards, sometimes referred to as the ambassador of God, we're representing Him. Now, not only was the steward blessed by his actions, but there was a blessing on the master too. You see, not only were the people, when the people saw what the steward did on the master's behalf, they were influenced towards a better opinion of the master. Because again, their contact with the master was through the steward. You and I, people are influenced towards God by how we act, because we are God's representative, His ambassador. And when they see how we act, they attribute the good or the bad to God. If we are loving, they see God as loving. If we are hateful or hurtful, they see God as hateful and hurtful. Because we are God's representatives. That's what it means to be His steward. We just don't represent or take care of His physical property, but also His intellectual and emotional property. People's reputation, God's reputation to the world, is our stewardship. We need to make sure that God has a good reputation to the world by our actions, our interaction with the world. How do we do that? Some of the ways we do that here is we try to seek to be loving and helpful to our neighbors. We do the bread distribution thing on Thursday morning. We pick it up Wednesday night, bag it up. It's there free for anybody to take. No questions asked. Thursday morning. We don't make people jump through a lot of hoops. Well, you can only come once a month. You got to fill out this form. You got to do that. You know, you got to promise to come to church. No. Just come get the bread. Take it. Take what you need. That's all we do. We have POP, Parents Opportunities for Peacefulness. This is a ministry which takes a lot of my time and effort right now, and I'm hoping to get somebody that will be helping with me with that. But we have families come in who are divorced or in the midst of divorce or never married, where there's some issue that has come up where either the courts or the custodial parent has been able to implement that one parent, in order to see their children, must be supervised. That means these people are in crisis. This is not a normal situation. And when we have these people, those people who are volunteering to supervise these visits, they promise to pray for those families. Now, sometimes it's very necessary that these people be in that, and we're just a step on them healing their relationships. But how they react to us, how we impact them, is a big thing. And they find that they come in, they're welcomed. We just minister to them, providing a resource. We do the hayride. We do our garage sale. There's things that we do just to show God's love and to have a good reputation to the community. I serve as a police chaplain. Some of you here serve on love lines. Some of you go and visit people in nursing homes or hospitals. All these things, that's all stewardship of God's reputation. But there's also things that happen which require that the body of Christ come together in order to make it happen. There's going to be a festival this August. Luis Palau, if you've not heard of him, he is a well-known international evangelist who preaches the Word of God. He's not somebody who takes advantage of others. He's not one of these people who's got, you know, a multi-million-dollar home and his private jet and expensive cars. He lives in a simple home with a simple family. But he presents the gospel and sets up these festivals around the world. I think I want to show the video now, and then I'll go into my explanation a little bit later.
The largest crowd ever to attend a festival event at the waterfront jammed the park this weekend.
Can you see? Look at this. Already there are people lining up.
Filling this space with 93,000 people. He was invited to Connecticut by 900 churches.
More than 30,000 on Friday, 50,000 plus on Saturday.
500 churches participating. Prayer and preaching in the park draw tens of thousands.
50,000.
Thousands are expected to show up for evangelist Luis Palau.
The crowd is huge. Look at all of the people.
Man, are we going to have fun in this place?
My kids are checking out Larry the Cucumber.
It's going to be a party. And welcome to our festival.
Great food, fabulous music, skateboard exhibition, and a message of very good news.
I got to lead three people to the Lord tonight. The first time commitments, they gave their lives to Jesus.
It's a real urban sound, contemporary sound, but the message is solely about Christ.
God wants you to go to heaven. Let's celebrate. Hundreds of churches are into this festival.
The churches teamed up for 2 days to present the gospel to downtown Cortland.
Well, Well, we've got to have music if we're going to have a celebration. Every revival in history, music has been a part of it.
What a festival this is turning out to be. There's tons of food down here, a skateboard park, a children's area.
Say the words, I love you.
I like the guys. I like the gals. I like what they stand for.
Anybody get excited about worshiping Jesus?
I don't necessarily personally listen to that music. But I like the kids who like the music, and that's why we do it.
1, 2, 3, come out!
No matter what you've done, God loves you.
We want the city to know Christianity is a joyful religion.
Come on! Break, go, stop, stop, stop!
We
want
more!
What better way to attract kids than to build this beautiful state-of-the-art skateboard park?
It's going to be no charge, so that you can invite your friends, your neighbors, no tickets, no charge.
Surrounded by your glory.
God loves us. Not everyone knows that, and that's the whole point. If we can get those here that have not heard that,
we have two goals: great music, good news.
Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that He died for you and that He came to save you. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, you shall be saved. And that's a gift of God.
The festival is a celebration for the Christians, but more importantly, it's a proclamation for your neighbor, for your friend.
Hey, don't remember that this is probably the best night of life, the best decision they could ever make.
Get involved in friendship evangelism training and in counselor training. Pray for 5 to 10 people in your neighborhood, people you work with, people you go to school with. Pray for them daily and bring them to the festival. Plan, prepare, and pray. Somebody's neighbor is going to be saved right here. Imagine.
Come on, let's go! I'm loving it!
Okay, Twin Cities Festival, August 7th through 8th, 2004. What does that have to do with stewardship? As I said, it takes the church coming together. It takes prayer, it takes volunteers, it takes money. All this to present the gospel to the world, to give a good reputation to God, to the community. Luis said it great. Some of you don't necessarily like that kind of music, don't listen to it yourself, but he loves the kids who love the music, and that's why they have that music, kind of music. At the thing. Some of you have never heard of some of these groups that are going to be that they have, but others of you, they're like what you listen to all the time. Third Day, Toby Mac, Katina's, Mary Mary, Jump 5, Avalon. That's who was at Beach Fest Spring Break at Fort Lauderdale this last year. They'll have similar, maybe even some of the same groups at the Twin Cities Festival. Now, each of you got one of these in your bulletin today. as we look through it, you see that there's a response card. If you fill out the response card, and you turn this in, you can turn it into me, turn it into in the offering plate next week, whatever. I'll send these in. Save you the stamp. I'll send in a bunch of them together. And then what you're going to get is this little DVD. Okay, this is a DVD of the highlights from the Beach Fest Spring Break in Fort Lauderdale. Okay, it has some of Luis Palau's message. It has interviews with people like Chris Carter, Stephen Baldwin, Brandon Looper, Alfonso Ellis. Who are these people? Well, some are some are athletes, some are actors. And the people who care about those sports or things know who these people are. They have skate parks. They have Veggie Tales for the kids. It's just like going to the state fair, except it's free for the people who come. But how does it get paid for? It's paid for by the church paying for it. Okay, I've committed Northbrook to support this, just that we would. We might send them $100. We might send them $1,000. We might send $2,000. I have no idea. I'm going to ask that you pray about that, and next week, bring in your card, you fill it out, you put something in the offering plate to support this festival. Maybe it's only a dollar. That's okay. But put in what it is God tells you to do. And we'll send this money off so that more of these DVDs can get out. You fill out one of these cards with your name and say that you're going to pray for this, you want to be part of it, they'll send you a DVD. You can take this DVD, give it to your friends, put it out. Okay, it sounds like a commercial. But it's not. What it is it's good stewardship. It's doing something that we could never do it individually, coming together as a large group to put on an event that has literally already been front page news in the Twin Cities. Okay, the Star Tribune carried this on front page when it was announced that this was going to happen. It's going to be on every TV and radio station in the Twin Cities, what's going on. And if this thing doesn't go as well as it could or should, because we didn't participate to the level that we could have or should have, that will be poor stewardship. Because we need to see a good thing when it's happening and get behind and push. Get behind it and be involved. If you have any questions about that particular event, feel free to contact me, talk to me. I would encourage each of you to attend it personally. They're going to have, if you would like to be a counselor and go and be there in that type of position or a volunteer, that'd be wonderful also. It's being prayer support. But invite people to go. Take them. You'll never get a better chance to take somebody to a non-threatening Christian event. Open air. It's going to be on the steps of the Capitol. Same place Taste of Minnesota takes place. And there's going to be almost as many food court things. Food vitamins. Okay, I know I seem to harp on that, but it's important to me. Okay. Let's just bow our heads and close up. We're not going to close with a song. We're just done. Father God, we just thank you for your blessings this day. And Lord, we praise you that you have indeed shown us how we can be better stewards. Lord, might we interact with the people around us in such a manner that we influence them towards you, to have a better picture of who you are, a more positive idea of who you are, Lord. Might not our actions tarnish your image? Instead, Lord, might our actions lead people to that saving knowledge, that amazing grace. In Jesus' name, go with God.